Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net, and follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to encourage you as you're making your travel plans, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline affiliate, so it goes right through to Priceline.com. And you can save money on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, cruises, and even more by either naming your own price or by choosing from several published fares. Plus, if you go through the URL JohnnyDollarAir.com, part of your purchase price goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio at no additional cost to you. So just remember JohnnyDollarAir.com when you're making your travel plans. Now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Meg's Palace Matter, Parts 1 and 2.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, I was afraid you might be away for the weekend.
Who's that?
Byron Kay at Intercoastal Maritime and Life.
Oh, hello, Bye. How are things in Boston?
In Boston, fine. In Cod Harbor, terrible.
Who's this?
Meg McCarthy, who runs an eating place there at the harbor.
Murder, mayhem, arson, or what?
Right now, it's or what. But if you don't do something, and fast, it may be all three. Can you come over and see me?
Now, Bye?
I know it's Saturday afternoon, Johnny, but this needs fast action. Will you?
Bye.
Goodbye.
No, Bye. Listen, you... Dollar, you're a sucker.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Cod Harbor, Massachusetts, to the Intercoastal Maritime and Life Insurance Company. Following is an accounting of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Meg's Palace matter. Expense account item 1, $7.30, cab from my apartment, train fare and incidentals to Boston. Byron Kay was a good insurance broker, and I figured he wouldn't have called me over a weekend unless it was pretty important.
Get right to the point, Johnny. Insurance on the palace is only for $15,000.
Wait a minute, Bye. What is this palace? A fishing boat?
No, it's what Meg McCarthy calls her restaurant, right down on the dock.
Cod Harbor, you say?
That's right.
Well, what seems to be the trouble over there that couldn't wait till after the weekend?
Well, like I told you, this character, Meg McCarthy, runs a so-called restaurant down on the docks, the palace. I sold her $15,000 insurance on it. And, Johnny, it's quite a place.
What do you mean by that?
We also carry 25,000 straight life insurance on Meg herself. Separate policy, of course.
Which one are you worried about, Bi?
Both, I think.
Huh?
Matter of fact, the more I think about it, the gladder I am that she didn't fall for my pitch when I tried to get her to increase the coverage on the cafe. If she had, our necks would really be out.
Well, what's the matter? Isn't it worth $15,000 now?
Oh, sure, at least. Even if it doesn't look it. You know, the stoves, equipment, and all that sort of stuff are in the coverage, too.
Then I'm afraid I don't see what
you... Thing is this, Johnny. Meg has been threatened.
By whom? How?
Who knows? Anyhow, she's notified me that there have been a couple of attempts to set fire to her place. Since she lives upstairs in it, that means danger to her own life, too.
Uh-huh. And the whole $40,000 is at stake.
Yes. Will you go up there right away and see what you can do?
Today?
Tomorrow?
Sunday?
Look, maybe you can get in some fishing. I understand you're quite a fisherman.
Oh, now, the last three times I was promised fishing while working on a case, all I did was cut bait.
Proposition. If you don't get in at least a full day's fishing trip while you're up there... I'll double whatever you line up on your expense account.
Sounds mighty tempting.
How about it, Johnny?
Okay, Bye. You asked for it. Item 2, 1195, transportation back to Hartford, then on to Cod Harbor the next morning. Fine way to spend a nice warm Sunday. Nice place, too, if you lost your sense of smell. There were two or three dozen fishing boats of all shapes and sizes tied up at the long dock and piers that comprised the important part of the village. For housing, there was a scattering of weather-beaten shacks, one store. Meg's Palace turned out to be the biggest, most disreputable-looking of the dockside eating places, and since there was a closed sign on the front door, I went around to the back.
Look here, Meg, I just come back to apologize for the next time
that mangy, scurvy crew of the Lillian comes in here and gets drunk and brawls and carries on and busts up me fine glassware and china, to say nothing of a couple of wooden chairs and a fine
listen table. To me, darling.
Don't you darling me, your pig face, squint.
No, Meg, put down the frying pan.
No, sir, not until you get your filthy hide out of here. I'm running a respectable joint, and the likes of you and the ragtail crew of yours have got no place in it. What's more, and furthermore, I won't have you around.
I only come to pay for the damage my boys did last night. Now, look here.
Hey, that's a laugh. Pay for the loss of me dignity, to say nothing of me trade.
Make me little buttercup, please.
Now, get out of here, Willie. Get out.
Okay. Here's your money, Meg.
Who wants your dirty, offensible money? Get!
Meg, put down the frying pan!
I'll put it down, Willie boy, if you don't get out of here. Get now, before I don't get out!
Excuse me, Miss McCarthy.
Ain't he a darling? Ain't he the sweetest man you ever did see?
Huh? The man you just threw out of here?
Not only comes in to apologize, but brings the money to pay for the damage his pranking boys done last night when they were celebrating the big catch they made. Lovely bunch of lads they are, too, every one of them. As loyal to Willie, but... Now, who the devil are you? And what's the big idea of barging in here on a Sunday when anybody with eyes in his stupid head can see that the place is closed up?
Now, your eyes
so blind in your head you couldn't see the sign out front?
I saw...
And sneaking in here the back way this way. Who do you think you are?
Well, I wasn't
now,
sneaking...
Now get out and leave a lady alone of a Sunday. Go on!
Don't get tough with me, Meg McCarthy.
Huh?
Just put down that pot and shut up for a minute while I tell you why I'm here. Put it down!
Shades of me dear departed overbearing husband, yes, sir. After all, I should have noticed your gent standing by the way you done while me and Bill was at its helter and skelter. Oh, but he's a dear one, ain't he?
Yeah, well, at this point, I wouldn't know. But from what I saw a minute ago...
Oh, don't let that fool you, dearie. We're in love, me and Willie boy. Ain't he a living doll?
Meg.
A fine, fine husband he's going to make me, too. That's why I made him the beneficiary of my life insurance policy.
That's exactly what I want to talk to you about.
Then go ahead and talk. What's stopping you standing there like a banty rooster that doesn't know...
Will you shut up?
Oh, well, of course I will, dearie. And I'm begging your humble pardon. But if there's anything I hate, it's a lily-livered man that hasn't...
Meg!
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Then listen.
Yes, sir.
My name is Dollar, Johnny Dollar. I'm an insurance investigator.
Insurance investigator, eh? Well, in spite and despite of your pretty clothes and peace and manner, I don't want any of already got.
No, you don't understand.
I've got all I can have.
I'm just...
And from the looks of things, these past couple of...
Will you shut up a minute?
Of course, dearie. I'm sorry.
You call the insurance company, Mr. Byron Kay in Intercoastal Maritime.
Oh, yes, dear little pasty-faced Byron boy. Why, do you know if he'd had half the guts and get of a he-man, he would have sold me twice the insurance he did?
Well, that's not quite the way he told it to me.
Well, it's the way I'm telling it to you. Oh, what am I going to do, darling, if they wreck my place the way they're trying?
Oh, this Willie boy, as you call him, who was just in here?
That's effeminate.
What?
He's Captain Billy Morgan, Bill, to you and any man what calls him
Willie.
Oh, Willie.
Put it down, will you? And stop yapping your head off and answer my question.
Yes, sir.
Now, is Captain Bill Morgan one of the people you suspect of trying to wreck this ugly-looking hash house?
Oh, I love you, boy. You talk like a real sweet, overbearing maid.
Then answer my question.
Well, of course he ain't. Willie boy wouldn't hurt me any more than I'd touch a hair of his pretty head if he had a hair on top of it.
All right, then who?
Johnny boy, there's a dozen of them like to see Meg's palace burn to the ground. Blast their black thieving souls.
Why?
Because I give them the best and the most food in the harbor. That's what the man gets here. So what happens to the silver plate in Ernie's manor house and Irving's chop suey joint? Well, I'm putting them out of business, that's what.
So you think they're trying to put you out of business?
Think it, I know it. That's why I telephoned that sniveling, lop-eared Byron Kay to send somebody down here and make him stop it. Before he had to pay off a lot of insurance on it, and maybe even on me. Why else do you think?
There have been some attempts to set the place on fire, I understand.
Why else do you think a lady like myself would take to sleeping on the bar down here every night, getting a creak in my sacred Lily up? But I'm getting sick and fed up with it.
I don't know that I blame you. Now, look, will you...
trying to keep awake all night every night to keep them from burning it out from under me and me, with it is making a fair shadow of me for herself out of me. I'm losing me strength.
But not your aim. Look, while we talk, I'll help you clear up some of this.
Well, the devil you will. It's not the man's job, especially since you ain't romantically inclined towards me.
But you would let Bill Morgan clean up for you, huh?
Well, he was the cause of it, wasn't he? So if he and his boys don't show up before nightfall and take care of it, so help me, I'll keel-haul them every one. Besides, if he's going to be me old man when the fishing season's done, he's got to know how to keep in line. Now.
Now. You say there are people you suspect are trying to fire this building.
Three.
All right, three. Now, who are they? The owners of the other restaurants here on the docks?
Aye. First, there's Clem Harris, what runs the Silver Plate. Oh, and a sly one he is.
Yeah, what do you mean?
He's too soft and polite and soft-spoke. Me, I never trust a man unless he talks up like a man. I guess that's why I like you, dear.
Well, who are the others?
Ernie Turner at the Manor House Cafe.
Oh, yeah, is that the big place down at the other end?
What? The little hole in the wall next to the bait stand. And half the time the customers don't know whether they're getting bad food or thawed-out bait. And the third one.
Yeah?
That stubborn mule that runs Irving's chop suey joint.
Irving who? What's his last name?
Irving? His name's Tony.
His name? Now, wait a minute, will you please?
Sure. Tony Fortino, Italian.
Then why is it called... Why a chop suey place?
If anybody has eyes, he would have saw how the sign was changed. First, the Chinese had it with chop suey.
Yeah?
Then came Irving with kosher, so he added his name to it, and now it's Tony.
Well, then why...
Only there wasn't any more room left on the sign, so stop complaining.
Okay, Meg, you win. But have you any specific reason to suspect any one of them?
One of them? I suspect them all, the dirty conniving.
Why?
Because they're a dirty conniving. I'll tell you why. Because they won't sell out to me. Because they all three keep open competing with me, and that's three against one, so they're a dirty
all right,
conniving.
All right, you
but...
said that.
Well, aren't they? How would
all
they...
right.
Yes, sir. I love it when you speak to me that way, Johnny.
So you said. Now, I asked you if you have any specific reason for suspecting any one or all of them.
Well, of course I have, on account of the threats they sent
them. How do you know they sent them?
Because I suspect them, that's why. And what happens three times they try to set fire
Meg,
to my lord?
Meg, you don't have one bit of actual evidence against any of them, do you?
Well,
do you?
No, but I suspect the dirty conniving...
Hold it, please. Are you sure those fires weren't accidental?
Accidental.
Well, with all the dirt and grease you leave around this
in
shack.
The middle of the night with a stove fire banked like I've been doing it for 20 years and with all the fires starting outside where they have no business. Look, Johnny boy, I'll show you where they started outside.
Well, now that's a good idea because so far I confess I can't get very much alarmed over what's
now,
happened.
Now, hold up. Don't the whole town know I'm closed on Sundays? Hello, and what kind of a blubber-headed income poop would be calling Meg's Palace on a Sunday when everybody knows...
I want Johnny Dollar.
Huh? Oh, of course. The gentleman's right here. It's for you, Johnny boy.
Oh? Hello, Johnny Dollar.
We know why you're here, Dollar.
Oh, yeah? Who's we?
But you won't be here long, understand?
Well, now, that's a matter of opinion, isn't it?
Either you go quiet the way you came, or you go in a long wooden box. Get it?
What is it, Johnny boy?
Come on, Meg. Let's get to work. Johnny Dollar.
Byron Kay in Boston, Johnny.
Hi.
The operator had quite a time locating you.
I don't see why. I'm in the only available room for rent here in Cod Harbor.
Huh? Well, She said she was ringing Meg's Palace Restaurant.
That's where I am. Room's right above the place.
Well, tell me, have you found out whether it's true somebody's trying to burn up that joint and put Meg out of business?
Not only that, Bi, but whoever's behind the attempts to get her out of the way has threatened to get me.
Hey, you want some help?
Yeah, I want you to send me something by truck as soon as possible.
Huh?
And I want to be sure it arrives here quietly at night so that nobody in this little fishing village knows it arrives.
Holy smoke, what?
Listen carefully, Bi, and I'll tell you. I want you to send me 600. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Cod Harbor, Massachusetts, to the Intercoastal Maritime and Life Insurance Company, Boston. Assignment, the Meg's Palace Matter. Expense account continued. Expense account item... Well, since you're paying for and sending that batch of fire extinguishers, Byron, I can hardly charge them to my expense account, can I? But I have a sneaking suspicion they might be mighty important. A cursory inspection of this tiny fishing community has revealed no sign of a firehouse. Nothing, in fact, but some hose connections for cleaning off the docks. And after the threats Meg McCarthy has received, plus a couple of attempts to fire up this disreputable-looking establishment of hers... Well, I guess I still have some Boy Scout blood in my veins. In view of the threat to me, I figured it might be a good idea to consult the local authorities. I learned a long time ago that it's a good plan to enlist their cooperation when working in a strange small community. Inquiries from some of the fishermen mending their nets spread out in the long wharf led me to a small, shabby, unmarked frame shack that stood about a block away from the waterfront.
Hey, come in.
Mr. Beasley?
That's right. What's your name?
Johnny Dollar.
Dollar, Okay, what do you want?
Well, you're the chief of police, I understand.
Acting chief of police?
Oh.
Acting mayor, too, an acting judge, acting town clerk, acting just about anything else you could want.
I don't get it.
Well, I don't know why not. Officially, I guess Cod Harbor's just a part of Barnesboro, a couple of miles inland. We're so small, and we're not incorporated like most towns. So we just have to be kind of self-sufficient under ourselves. You see what I mean? And you know something? It works out pretty good.
Yeah, well, I guess it's as chief, as acting chief of police that I've come to see you.
Yeah, what about?
The Meg's Palace Cafe.
Ah, you mean you take any stock in Meg's talk about somebody threatening to burn up that cockroach-loaded dump she calls a restaurant?
I'm representing the insurance company that holds $15,000 insurance on it.
Ever come to your mind, Mr. Dollar, that Meg, her own self, might have set the fires to collect that insurance?
And call for help as a cover-up? Yeah, yeah, the thought has entered my mind.
Just crazy enough to do a thing like that, too.
Hasn't she been to you for help?
She told me.
Oh, what sort of evidence, one way or another, have you turned up?
Dollar, I haven't looked for any.
Yeah, what?
The less I meddle in their affairs, the less trouble I'll have with the folks here in Cod Harbor.
Oh, hey, now, wait a minute. For a mayor and police chief and so on, you don't seem to be very concerned about these people of yours.
So, maybe I'm not. What's the difference?
Well, look here, if you...
Yeah, you know. Unless something serious happened, like a murder or...
Or a fire that destroyed Meg's palace and maybe half the docks? Don't you think that sort of thing is serious?
Well, yeah, if it happens. Then I'd probably have to call in the regular appointed authorities over to Barnesboro. But there hasn't been any fire yet. Not any real one. So why get your dander up?
Well, I'll be. Look, with so little concern about the place, how did you ever get all those jobs?
Easy. Lost my schooner out on the banks last fall. So for want of something better, I just took it. I took them all. Why not? The town feeds and bores me, and I like it. So...
Real soft, lazy, good-for-nothing life, huh?
Sure. Now, why don't you be a good boy, Dollar, and leave things be around here? Stop wasting my time.
Well, just let me take enough of your valuable time to ask a couple of questions.
Sure. Go ahead. No harm in asking.
I want to know about some of the people here in Cod Harbor.
Like who?
Clem Harris, for one.
Careful, boy. That's my cousin.
Oh.
Who else?
Ernie Turner and Tony Fortino.
Oh. Account of them's the three that run the other dirty bites along the docks, huh?
Yeah. I'd like a rundown on all three of them.
Easy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Go talk to them.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Easiest way I know of for you to find out all about them.
You're a lot of help.
Dollar, like I said, we're kind of self-sufficient under ourselves around here. We like it that way. And that's just another way of saying we don't like strangers coming here and messing around in our affairs.
Well, that was pretty definitely that. It was getting quite late, and I decided I'd better postpone any interviews with Meg's business rivals until the following morning. Besides, as I walked along the wharf, I noticed that they were closed. Then I remembered somebody else I wanted to talk to, the beneficiary of Meg McCarthy's life insurance policy, the master of the fishing boat, Lily Ann, Captain Billy Morgan. But the Lily Ann, tied up at her berth, was dark and empty. Well, if anyone knew where Captain Billy was, it'd be Meg herself. So I walked the boards back to Meg's palace. What greeted me as I opened the back door of the place was truly a sight to behold.
Over there with that hole, you scum of a landlubbinly. Over there in the corner, can't you see? What's the matter with your blinking eyeball?
Standing in the center of the floor, brandishing a moth-eaten feather duster as if it were a club, stood Captain Billy Morgan, shouting orders to three men who were cleaning up the mess of pots and pans and broken crockery left over from Meg McCarthy's temper tantrum of a short while earlier, when she belabored this same Captain Billy for a little celebration he and his crew had had in her place the night before. Belabored? It looked like she must have thrown one of everything in the joint at him.
Bill! Hey, Captain Billy! Hey! Hey!
Oh, it's you, huh? Seen you here earlier today when Meg threw me out.
Now, looks to me like you weren't all she threw.
Yes, sir. Oh, she's a living doll. Hey, see, ain't you the insurance hand she telephoned to help her find out who's trying to burn her out of here? Name's Johnny Dollar, ain't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Captain, I'd like to ask you a favor.
Charlie, you yellow-bellied, bug-eyed, bandy-wasted. Don't throw that trash in the corner. What's the matter with you?
Sorry, Mr. Dollar, but I guess the boys don't like working at night when they got to be up and aboard Lily Ann and headed out for the fishing banks by 3 a.m. in the morning.
Don't blame them.
We couldn't leave Meg's place in a mess like this now, could we? After all, she's going to have to serve us coffee and sinkers before we go.
Well, where is she?
Upstairs. Has been for the last hour.
In her room?
In that room she's renting out to you. Figured like maybe it could stand some cleaning up and debugging, I guess.
You know something? She figured right.
Avast there with the mop, old ear. I'll wring it around your bloody neck. And swab off them tables whilst you're at it. Can't you see the mess you left on them?
Now, what can I do for you, Mr. Dollar?
Well, look, why don't you and I go into the kitchen, Captain, where we can hear ourselves think?
Well, sure, why not?
All right, now you keep at it, you sow-bellied lunkhead. And if the joint ain't clean and tidy when I come back, I'll blast you all over the lee scuppers.
Real fine bunch of boys I got there, ain't they?
I'll bite, are they?
You bet your sweet living life they are. Finest crew on any boat in the harbor. Charlie, Ole, and Montgomery. Now, what was it you wanted, Mr. Dollar? You found out anything about who's causing all the worries to my lover girl?
Not very much, yet.
Well, I hope you do.
Do you?
Huh? I don't get you.
I'm going to be honest with you. Lay all the cards right on the table.
Well, that's the only way, I always say.
All right. I'm just as concerned about Meg herself as I am about this cafe.
Sure you are. Me too.
Now, whether you like it or not, I have to consider the fact that you are the beneficiary of Meg's $25,000 life insurance policy. If anything were to happen to her...
Why, sure, I see what you mean. You bet your life I see what you mean. Why, you blasted land-loving son of a dirty yellow
right,
scuffing...
Take it easy, Captain.
Take it easy. You
pipe
trying
down.
To say I hurt one single hair of Meg McCut? Dollar, you may crash like that. I'll swab the decks with that ornery hide of yours and feed you. Put him up! Put him up, Dollar! You want to talk to me like
I
that?
I said,
you put
pipe down, Captain. Let's talk sense a minute.
Talk sense, yeah, but don't you go implicating that.
I didn't imply a thing yet.
Well, I warn you, you
just
don't.
Just a minute there, Captain Billy Morgan. Just a minute. What do you think you're talking to like that, the guest of me humble establishment?
Well, I'm sorry, Meg, darling, but he
and
was
why
talking
ain't
like...
you in there helping those poor boys of yours with the cleaning up?
Well, but they're almost finished up, Meg, me darling.
Besides, unless you ought to get out of here and get your sleep, you'll not be worth your salt on the boat tomorrow.
Meg, I'd like to talk to Captain Billy.
Tomorrow. Go out in the boat with him in the morning, and you'll all have plenty of time to talk.
Well, I want to talk
Willie
to him
boy,
now.
Boy, get out with them. Go on.
Well, yes, my dear. And I'll see you at the dock at 3 in the morning.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Get! Also, Johnny boy, you go out with him. Just give me a chance to fix your room up real nice for you, like it should be for a gentleman like yourself.
Okay, Meg. Come to think of it, I was promised a fishing trip on this case.
Anyways, I'll not be worrying about any fires tonight with you staying here. So if you don't mind, I'll retire to my bed and see you at breakfast time.
Okay. Maybe I can help Billy's crew finish cleaning up in there.
Oh, don't you lift a finger. It was a twilly boy I throwed them plates and things so him and his crew can clean it up. Good night, Johnny boy. There's food in the icebox and your bed's all made and you're ready to retire.
I stood there for a moment, smiling after her. Then I decided I'd take her advice, that instead of helping the men clean up the cafe, I'd get a breath of fresh air before hitting the sack. The moon was just a thin sliver in the eastern sky, and the stars twinkled merrily in the broad, clear expanse overhead. The cottages of the peaceful little fishing village were dark. Along the docks at the waterfront, the fishing boats playfully nudged each other as they slowly and quietly swung and rolled on the gently heaving water. Their masts and rigging formed an intricate, ever-changing pattern against the occasional beam from the lighthouse and the point as it lazily swept across the night. Somewhere, far out on the landward breeze, an occasional seabird called. It was all so peaceful and serene that I couldn't help wondering how trouble could ever come to a... Then I saw it. A slight movement at the front corner of the old building. A silhouette hunched over, tensely watching the front door, waiting. But waiting for whom? Slowly, as quietly as possible, I crept up on whoever it was, hoping in the dim light to recognize him or her before I was discovered. Softly, I passed the side door. I could still hear the members of the crew inside at their work. But in my concentration on the person out front, I was too slow in my reaction when that side door suddenly opened behind me. Huh? What? Who are you? Oh, no, you... Oh! And very suddenly, it got very dark.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, a trip to sea on the Lily Ann that starts out like an ordinary fishing trip. But somewhere on board lurks a man with murder in his heart. And his next intended victim, me. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote this week's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, if you had any doubt, the actress playing this role is Virginia Gregg. Virginia Gregg, of course, we've heard her in a lot of roles in Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, as well as other series, playing roles such as femme fatales or beautiful damsels. Here, definitely a bit of a departure. And I just, as I'm listening to this, I have to imagine Virginia Gregg was having a blast with this character. And she would occasionally get these roles. I think a lot in her later years, when you look at the Dragnet work from the 1960s on television, that there were certain roles she got she just seemed to really sink her teeth into. She could do great dramatic parts, but when you gave her a role that had a flair of comedy to it and different characterization, she could just go to town. And I think that's definitely coming through here in this story. But obviously, Johnny is in a mystery, and the fact that the person who's supposed to be the law doesn't care very much, well, that doesn't bode well. We'll find out what'll happen to Johnny on Wednesday. And then I have a comment sent through from Sharon. Just discovered Johnny Dollar on TuneIn Radio and really like the commentary. Well, thanks so much, Sharon. I appreciate your comments. That'll actually do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with the casebook of Gregory Hood. And as I said, Wednesday we'll continue on with the Meg's Palace matter. Also, coming up this Saturday, we'll be playing for you Homicide O'Kane. So be sure and listen to that. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and to become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.